I want to talk about take away the hindrance. Take away the hindrance. And I will be talking about the most important thing that the devil hinders us from. And that is where we are going to be praying from, that God will take away that hindrance tonight. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4. Proverbs 25 verse 4. He said, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. This particular verse is not what I will be explaining, but I just want to allow it to point us to something. And very quickly, I want us to look at the word dross. The word dross there is the veil. That's the hindrance, the veil. The veil that we have been looking at in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is in their heart. So look at the word veil as the word dross. That's an hindrance. And then in that Proverbs 25, 4, it said, take away the dross from the silver. And I want to look at the silver there. I want us to look at it as your life. Take away the dross from your life, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And the finer there is referred to as the presence of God. So there are three things I'd like us to look at. Number one is the dross, which happened to be the veil. And number two is the silver, which happened to be your life. And number three, the finer, which happened to be the presence of God. The presence of God has to do with God himself. So we are going to be looking at these three things. So we are talking about take away the hindrance, take away the veil, take away the dross. The most important hindrance that the enemy brings to our lives is the hindrance to the presence of God. The most important hindrance that the devil brings, that the devil always wants to achieve in the life of the people of God, is to ensure that he hinders them from having a direct access. Devil does not want you, devil does not want me to have direct access to the presence of God. And please get to know this as we are beginning this message. Now, if Satan can stop you from accessing direct contact with the presence of God, he has lost over you. Yeah. He has lost over you. All the things that we need, they are all in the presence of God. Everything man needs. Take note. If you need joy, joy is simply in the presence of God. Psalm 16 verse 11. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy." So not just joy, but the fullness of it. So when I have direct access to the presence of God, definitely I am already surrounded with the fullness of joy. So many people are looking for joy, but they don't know that what they need is access to the presence of God. There are many things we ask for that we don't just need to ask for them. We need to ask for what we make us to access them. What we make them to be a free flow to our lives. I don't know whether you're understanding what I'm saying. Now, if you need peace, the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. When Jesus, when his presence is accessible to your life, you don't ask for peace because you don't lack it. He said, "The peace that I give to you, not like the world gives it and takes it away, giveth I to you." So when you have access to the presence of Jesus, there is no need to be asking and say, "Can I have peace? Let me have peace." Because when you have access to his presence is peace. Peace flows like a river in his presence. I want you to enter something very important tonight, so that you can know why devil is so committed. Why devil labors so much to block one thing, and that thing is your direct access to the presence of God. We're going to be looking at some scriptures tonight. When you first check in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, when you look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, the first success of the devil in creating hindrance between man and God was attained. That is the place you are going to see what devil did. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, I want you to go there and see what the devil wanted to achieve and that he later achieved. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. After sin came in, the Bible says, "Then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." So God was looking for them. God desires to fellowship with you. God wants you to be in his presence. God does not want us, he doesn't want to keep his presence from you. Do you understand that? God does not want to keep his presence from you. The desire of God is that you are in his presence. So God was the one looking for them. He was calling. They had the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Are you there? And the man and his wife, what did they do? They hid themselves from where? From the presence of God. So, who initiated hiding from God's presence? The man. Did God initiate it? No, God didn't. That tells you something. Every time you are looking for the presence of God, his presence is available. The hindrance between you and the presence of God is not God. It's man. It's me. It's you. God desires to make his presence accessible, but with condition. Sin cannot access his presence. Sin cannot behold his presence. So, but his presence is always available. It's always there. God does not block his presence. He blocks what cannot enter into his presence. Oh, do you understand that? God does not block his presence from man. He blocks what is in man that cannot access his presence. I don't have too much of a time to establish this tonight, but I want you to take note of this. Devil, the most terrible thing he wants to accomplish in the life of anyone is to ensure that he hinders your direct contact, your direct access to the presence of God. You know why? The presence of God is what we call the supernatural. Where the presence of God is a supernatural atmosphere. It's the atmosphere Satan can handle. It's the atmosphere Satan cannot withstand. It's the atmosphere that Satan cannot stay. Sickness can't stay in the presence of God. Just the way sin cannot stay there. Not only sin can stay there, sickness cannot stay there. Sorrow cannot stay in the presence of God. Lack cannot stay in the presence of God. Every good thing that man needs is found in the presence of God. Say, every good thing that I need is found in the presence of God. So, the presence of God, you may take it for granted, but devil doesn't. You may take the presence of God for granted, but devil does not take that presence from granted. Let's look at the book of Psalm 68. I want to show you something there very quickly. Psalm 68, we're going to look at verse 2 and verse 8. Psalm 68, look at verse 2. Now, verse 1 says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him. Now, does devil hate God? Does he hate God? Please answer me. So, can Satan stay in the presence of God? So, what happens to you when you are in the presence of God with Satan? He gets away from you. Is somebody please understanding that? The presence of God is an atmosphere that you don't need to bind the devil. Satan can't stand there. He said, let God arise. He's talking about the presence of the Lord. Let the presence of God be made manifest. And let all his enemies, let those who hate him. Satan hates him. So when you are a believer who is a carrier, who have direct contact with the presence of God, there can never be atmosphere of Satan around you. You command the presence. This was the way Jesus lived his life. This was the reason when he entered the place. I'm teaching you something very vital. There was no fear for Jesus. There was no thought about how many demons are here. When he entered a place, that demons begin to cry, that demons begin to flee, because they cannot understand, they can't comprehend, they can't stay in the atmosphere of the presence of God. So a carrier of the presence of God, Satan does not stay around that person. That's why Satan wants to block every access to direct presence of God in your life. And that's why I have realized, because we lack understanding in this area, we want things, we pray for things, but what we ought to be living our life for, what we ought to labor for, what you ought to like pant for all the time, what you ought to be praying for, what you ought to seek after, is that you have access, that there is no hindrance between you and the presence of God. Because if the presence of God can guarantee all that you need, then do you need to be asking for those things? What should be your priority? That presence. Look at verse 2 of Psalm 68. I hope you are following me. We're going to enter a dimension which we are going to move. But I need to establish this foundation. He said, oh you, Psalm 68 verse 2. He said, as smoke, are you seeing it? Is driven away. You drive them away. You drive them away. Is it you that drives them away? What drives them away? The presence of God. That's why when David, who had direct access, who carried the presence of God, a person that Satan could not enter. One of the things Satan did not achieve so easily in the life of David was to create a barrier, was to create a barricade. He couldn't accomplish that. So David was a man who carried the presence of God. So when Saul was mad, when Saul was under demonic manipulation and torment, when David comes and he begins to play his harp and he begins to sing, what happens to the demons affecting Saul? They flee. Who causes them to flee? The presence of God. So you as a person can get to a place, demons will be fleeing from other people's lives. Is that not a life we should press into? That when you are leading prayers, people who demons have surrounded, they are just running away. You are singing, you are lifting hands and saying, can we just worship the Lord? As you lift your voice to lead worship, demons are flying away because you carry atmosphere. Your life brings the presence of God that demons, they have to flee. He said, you drive them. You drive them. The presence of God drives away demons. Many believers don't know this. We don't get to the depth of this. That's why when we ask us to pray and pursue the presence of God and say, Lord, I don't want hindrance between me and your presence, we don't want to do that. We are so after the things, but we don't know. I'm emphasizing again, everything is locked in the presence of God. Everything you need in life, everything you are panting for, everything you say, Lord, if I have this thing, my life will be fulfilled, is in the presence of God. Lord, if I have this thing, I will have rest. Rest is in the presence of God. Everything a man needs, a man has not been designed to struggle for them. They are meant to flow into the life of that man in the presence of God. Let's read that scripture properly. It says, you drive them away. Look at it again. As wax melt before the fire. Do you know what is called wax? As it melts before the fire. Have you seen rubber before? Have you taken rubber inside the fire? Do you see, have you ever seen any resistance between rubber and fire? What happened to that rubber? Melt. It even enhances the burning of the fire. It melts. You don't see the shape, or it becomes it just, it loses shape, it loses weight, it loses power, it melts. So may the wicked perish before who? Before God. Check verse 8. Now let's check verse 7 and 8. Oh God, when you went forth before your people, what does that mean? When your presence went ahead of them. When you went forth before the presence, before your people, when you marched through the wasteland, he said, Selah, think about it. Just think about it. When God is marching before you, when he goes in the wasteland before you, what happened in verse 8? The earth shook. Are you seeing it at all? So earth cannot remain the same where the presence of God is working. The earth has to shake. The earth has to shake. He said, the heavens also poured down what? They poured down rain. At what? At the presence of God. So there is no wasteland where the presence of God is. Oh, somebody is not getting something. There is no what? No wasteland. No dryness. No wilderness where the presence of God is. So if my life is dry, if my life is like a wasteland, it's a pointer to me. Because where the presence of the Lord is, heaven must pour down rain. Rain to bring a transformation, to bring a refreshing. So when my life is just a dry land, when my life is a wasteland, when my life is just like a wilderness, I don't need to tell you. You just need to know that something has tampered with the presence of God in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Look at what he said. Even Sinai. What happened to the mountain Sinai? Shook, moved. Do you know what he was referring to? A mountain. So at the presence of, if I can establish this, which I believe I've done, at the presence of God, no mountain, no matter how hard, can stand. But are these not all things that bother us? These are things that bother us. I have a mountain. This mountain has been there all that long in my family, in my life. It's because there is no direct contact with the presence of God in your life, in my life. When there is a direct contact, Sinai shook, moved. God doesn't argue with mountains. He created them. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 said, not by power, not by mind, but by my spirit. In verse 7 said, who art thou? Who are you? Abi? You mountain before Zerubbabel. Who are you? So in the presence of God, no barrier has the capacity to stand. That was what happened when they left Egypt. When God said to Moses, tell the children of Israel, move forward. And immediately, the presence of the Lord took over their back, their front, surrounded. And he said, stretch forth the rod, the hand towards the sea. What parted the sea? The presence. After tonight, I don't want you to joke with the presence of God. Don't be religious about the presence of God. Without the presence of God, we are useless. But I'm coming to something very important. You check it there. He said, at the presence of God, Sinai Shoe, the God of Israel. So take note of this. Direct presence of God is a trouble to Satan in your life. Direct presence of God, your contact with the direct presence of God is a trouble. So the chief aim of Satan is to create hindrance between you and the direct presence of God. If Satan cannot take you completely away, take note, please follow this message. If Satan cannot take you completely away from the presence of God, Satan will create a veil. He will make sure that you are religious. He will make sure you pray. But there are certain things. As you are praying, you are only praying behind hindrance. When you leave the place of prayer, because if you have a direct contact with the presence of God, go and check what happened to Jesus. When Jesus was praying on the mountain of transfiguration, there was no barrier between Jesus and the Father. So what happens when there is no hindrance between you and God in the place of prayer is what Jesus showed the disciples, the three of them. That when you appear in the presence of God in the place of prayer, your appearance, your face, everything about you will be influenced, will be transformed by the presence of God. When Jesus was praying, the Bible says his eyes became glistering fire, just like what happened to Moses. His clothes became so dazzling with white that no dry cleaner has ever achieved before. What made that possible was the presence of God that Jesus got a direct contact with. So the question I've asked myself when I was praying over this matter concerning my own life is that, Lord, what happened that when people enter into the place of prayer, nothing changes in their lives? People enter into the place of prayer, their heart is still very hard. People enter into the place of prayer, they come out, no peace in them, no joy in them. It doesn't show that the same way they have entered. Somebody who has been complaining yesterday, enter into the place of prayer now, he returns back, she returns back to complain. Can't we ask and say, is that place of prayer, does it have any effect? If it has effect, when Jesus entered into prayer, and don't forget, it was because that was the first time he wanted the three disciples to see it. That was his usual experience. You don't understand that? Yeah. Even the first thing, his prayer life was what he didn't call the disciples and come and, can I teach you how to pray? They saw something about his prayer life. And they said, the prayer life of this man is quite different. When he lives, when he's praying, they feel an atmosphere. Just like Robert Liardon said about his grandmother, the person that wrote God's General. His grandmother taught him the presence of God. Robert Liardon said he was very small. When the grandmother will be praying, Robert Liardon said it will get to a time that he will see that the atmosphere of the grandmother in the place of prayer changed. As a boy, The boy could see that when his grandmother is praying, this prayer is not ordinary. Why are you satisfied with ordinary prayer? It's because there is a veil between you and his presence. The disciples saw Christ, that after he had prayed, when he stepped down, the power of God begins to flow. Everything begins to work. They see evidence that this man has had contact. The same thing happened to Moses. When Moses returned from the mountain, he covered his face. The people said, "We don't want to look at you because many have gone on. They can't even count to you how many days of mountains they have been. They will tell you, I don't know how many 40 days I have done." Some people are living on the mountain. That is their home. But yet, you can't see the glory of God on their lives. You know why? You can live on the mountain. You can be fasting for all through the year on the mountain until the veil between you and the presence of God is removed. All those things are useless. You are only praying behind the veil. And I've come to a point and I said, "Lord, I will not pray behind the veil anymore. I won't relate with you behind the veil anymore." I told you about religious spirit 2 weeks ago. This is what we have settled for in the church now. We just want to go. And by the time we go, we come out. It doesn't show we have been in his presence. Because let me tell you, the presence of God is so forceful, Toby. You can't come in contact with it and remain the same. When Jacob had an encounter at Peniel, it was evidential that this man had met with God. What are the things that normally show as signs, as symbols on your life, on my life, that have just come out of the place of prayer? That I've been in the presence of God. What changes in my character? What changes in my attitude? What changes in my nature? Can I approach the God that see mountains melt before him, and I will enter into his presence and malice will not melt in my heart? I've not seen him. If I see him, I will come out limping. I will come out doing what? Jacob came into his presence with strength. He was Jacob. By the time he came out, he became Israel. Israel has been limping now. Every self, every human strength and capacity has been dealt with. The presence of God is fire. Oh, makatoko sheketa kapalara gadosh. Fire. How can I come out of his presence and I'm still angry? You know, I'm so surprised when I hear people saying, "We are just coming from 10 days prayer." And in the midst of that prayer, you are fighting. In the midst of that prayer, you are lying. You have gone for 20 days, 30 days. It doesn't show. It's not the presence of my Father. I have established before you what is Satan himself can't stay there. So it is either somebody is deceiving somebody. If I have entered into his presence, there must be an alteration in my life. It must be evident that this brother is always in the presence of God. This is what all of us should present to. I'm not exonerating myself. I am telling you my cry. I became restless today, walking up and down, praying and said, "Lord, every hindrance between me and your presence, let it be taken away." When there is a direct contact with the presence of God in my life, there must be evidence. Oh, thank you, Father. So the tearing of the veil should be your cry. The tearing of the veil. What is the veil? That's what I want to address now. We pray. And I want you to pray. What is the veil? Because you know, when Jesus was hung on the cross, He tore the veil. He only achieved and said, don't serve God behind the veil anymore. Two things are so important. When you pray, it is a direct access to the presence of God. When you are studying the word, it is access to the, because you are fellowshipping with spirit. God is a spirit. So when you are praying, it's spirit to spirit. When you are studying, it's spirit to spirit. And what happens is that they affect, his presence affects you from the inside. That's why 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as we behold his face, as in a glass, as in a mirror, we are changed. We are being transformed. That is the evidence of the presence of God. Anything called the presence of God that is void of transformation is false. Transformation in nature, transformation in character, transformation in capacity, transformation in potential, transformation in ability, transformation in spirit, transformation in appearance. Where there is no transformation, the presence of God is not there. You can fast there 90 days, yet there is a veil between you and the presence of God. What is separating me and the presence of God? What is separating me from having a direct contact? Having a direct contact. I am tired of just having a show. I am tired of just studying the Bible. I have not seen the spirit of the Bible. I am tired of just praying and I'm not seeing the one I am praying to. No, it must be over. I don't want to pray and be praying and just say I have prayed and I don't see. He has not affected me. Jacob said, I won't let you go until there is a direct contact with your presence. When there is a direct contact, I know everything about me will change. There are things that must be identified and be dealt with that are called the dross. Don't forget I said that dross is the veil. It's that hindrance that Satan has succeeded in putting in the life of believers. And he will tell them and say, keep being religious. I have achieved putting hindrance between you and direct presence of God. Just keep being religious. Keep fasting. Keep telling us that you are a pastor. Keep telling us that you are a reverend. Keep showing us your color. Even though there is no direct presence, you can't say I have a direct contact with God. You cannot. There is a veil. Because in your life it shows that you are just religious. You don't have the evidence, the fruits that shows this person has direct contact with the presence of God. I hope God has spoken to you. We will look at those things very quickly. I can only mention a few because I want us to spend some 10 minutes praying. And our prayer tonight should make us to be violent. Lord, take away every dross. Take away every hindrance that is between me and my direct contact. Please don't forget, I'm not saying in contact with you, but direct contact with your presence. Direct. There are many indirect contact with God's presence everywhere. Many. But we are tired of them. We want direct. So whatever, look at Samuel. He was so small. God was not saying because he was a boy. Samuel had a direct contact. He didn't first know. Eli was saying, I'm not the one calling you. And after some time, he said, God must be calling this one. After Eli told Samuel, it was God. Did God later talk back to Eli again? No, it was Eli going back to Samuel. Please tell me what God has said to you. Samuel has become a barrier now. The intermediary between a small boy becoming intermediary between the man, the whole priest of a nation, and God. So Eli still had touch with the presence of God, but it was indirect through Samuel. He wanted to even call Samuel. If you don't tell me what God, how can a man who has been a priest, will not be begging a 10-year-old boy that if you don't tell me what God, something has injured that man. And many of us, all we are satisfied with is somebody who can tell us what God is saying, is somebody who can tell us what God is doing. But God wants to tell you. God wants to reveal himself to you. You can hear God directly. God can speak to you directly. You can have an atmosphere of the presence of God that when anybody is talking, they are only confirming. In the body of Christ today, people have been taught just to have indirect contact with the presence of God. But in this mission, I'm teaching you that the Lord is raising us to say, no, the move of God, what God is doing, is that every hindrance, every dross, every veil between us and direct contact with the presence of God, let it be taken away. Will you pray that tonight? I asked the Lord, what are some, he mentioned quite numbers to me today, but I won't be able to mention all. Maybe I can mention two or three, and then we pray. Number one is called passivity. Passivity. What is passivity? It is being passive about the presence of God. I want to tell you something about passivity. Passivity is when, please look at me, Toby, you are talking to me now, and I'm talking to Pastor Yinka, and you are saying, sir, I'm giving you a report of that thing which you sent me. And I say, okay, I'm hearing you, and I'm talking with Pastor Yinka. Pastor Yinka, please go on with what you are telling me. Toby, please, you, I can hear you. I can't give attention to two places. So the one I'm giving attention to, the other one is a passive attention. Number one, I'm not talking about those who don't know God. I'm talking about believers now. Number one major hindrance to your direct contact with the presence of God is passivity, passiveness. Spending time, and I have resolved and said, Lord, take away the dross, the veil of passivity out of my life. Many of us will be praying, you'll be receiving call. You even, while somebody is calling you, you are in the church, so that the person can know, must the person know you are in the church? Can't you drop it? And when you are done, and somebody is called, just to, some people will just put it, take it, and just the person just know you are in the church. You are passive. The presence of God, see, the opposite of passivity is activeness. Being active. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. When you are praying, if it is 5 minutes you want to spend with God, don't use some minute to be passive. If you are not ready to pray, don't enter into a place of prayer. Don't think you can be praying and do some other things. Don't think you can be studying the Bible. I'm telling you what I have begged God for, because I'm also a victim. Sometimes the children I will be praying, and they may be doing something that is, they just want, they're acting funny. You want to stop that? Stop. You are praying, you know. Stop. Marvelous. Stop that. You have become passive. You have lost his presence. As we behold, if the presence of God does not take your entire focus, you have lost God. I don't mind to stop, you know. If this is one thing you will take home tonight, maybe next week we still move. I don't want to give you too much that you don't understand. If you will resolve tonight to say, I will no longer be a passive child of God, passive son of God. When I am praying, look at those that are not even in faith. Look at those who are, no matter what they want to say, when it is time for them, those who are fanatics among them, when it is time for them to go and pray, they leave everything, they go. You that holds the Lord, you are passive. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, to be passive is to be spiritless. You are just doing it. I'm just praying, I'm just doing it. I'm studying the Bible, I'm just doing it. You are studying, if you want to study the Bible, sit down, devote 30 minutes. This 30 minutes, it is, I want to hear from the Lord. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Let it be that if something will interrupt, oh my God, it won't be as usual. It will be something the Lord will know and say, this he can't just but must respond to this. You don't become spiritless. To study for 10 minutes, let it be that 10 minutes, you are not pressing your phone, you are not doing some other things, you are not passive. It's an entrance to a direct contact with the presence of God. That's why you see many today, when they come out of the place of prayer, they are still themselves, because they have entered that place of prayer with passivity. When they are in the church, the word is coming forth like this, their attention is divided. They are here bodily. Their mind has wandered to different, as you are seated now. If you don't make up your mind and say, Lord, deliver me from passivity, you can be here. And you might have been in Lagos, right here, the time we have spent here. You might have finished cooking your rice, cooking your soup. You might have finished cooking everything. You might have concluded the program of tomorrow. How am I going to do it? Okay, by 7 a.m. And you are here listening to the word of God. How will the presence of God affect you? You have become passive. It's a veil. That's why you see the Pharisees. They are so religious, but they are not spiritual. They are passive people. No matter what they say to them, it doesn't enter, because they don't hear with their heart. They don't pay attention. See, let me tell you, every time you want to break the barrier between you and the direct contact with the presence of God, you must prepare your mind for action. I want to go and pray. It is prayer. I am not thinking about anything. It's the Lord I want to see. I am going to church. I shut down every other thing. I am fellowshipping with the Lord. I am with the Lord. I am. Prepare yourself for action. Don't be passive. Please prepare to come and lead us to pray. 1 Peter chapter 1, mommy, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Are you there? Please, I'm about to leave here. Did you get something tonight, please, everybody? I'm just telling you, these are the secrets. They are simple things to operate in the supernatural. People don't know that the presence of God, you may have indirect contact with the presence of God, and you can keep on with your life, but it injures so much. That was what Jesus came to remove. No more indirect. No more. I need a direct contact with the presence of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Are you there? Therefore, guard your minds. What did he say you should do? Guard. He didn't say guide it. He said G-U-A-R-D. Secure your mind. Don't let Satan put a veil of distraction there. Because direct presence with God will take care of everything about you. Guard your mind. As you are coming to the presence of God, guard it. My mind, there is no way for the enemy to distract you. You want to pray? Be a security personnel. Be a security officer over your mind. Guard it. Guard your mind. Your mind. Be sober. Be sober. When you want to allow veil to be taken away, don't be in the presence of God and be full of tambourine activity. Be sober. He said, be still and know that I am God. Be sober. Let there be quietness in your spirit, man. In your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you. There is a grace that is coming. When you have direct contact with the presence of God, the grace to be brought to you at the revelation. Is it in your Bible? At what? The revelation of Jesus. So, without the revelation of Jesus, no grace has been brought to you. Let me stop. If I pray for 10 hours, and there is a barrier that has not allowed Christ to be revealed, I don't have a direct contact with his presence. And how do I know I've had such direct contact? It's as if when you touch fire, you can't touch fire and say, I don't know that I have touched fire. There are people now that when you fight, when you add any quarrel together, you can't be at ease. You cannot. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You can, because of the state of the presence of God. Sometimes you utter a statement to somebody. As you get to the presence of God, maybe as you turn, you just hear, no. Do something about it. Because you can't get contact with him and you don't know. So I wonder, how can I come out of the presence of God and go and fight? And keep malice and hate somebody. How? When it's revealed to me, his grace is brought to me. Lord, every veil, every hindrance that is hindering me from having direct contact with your presence, tonight, take it away.
away the kingdom. God had withdrew his presence from Saul. Yet he was still doing as a king. Presence has been withdrawn already. For Adam and Eve, they were in the garden. The presence of the Lord and God already, they have put veil of disobedience between them and God. And yet they still want to continue to be in the garden with the presence of God. And it is not possible. They have built a barrier of disobedience between them and God. And many of us, we have veils. Veils of religion, veils of anger, veils of malice, and the rest. Yet we still want to lift only hand when there is barrier between us and God. It is not possible. It is not. I want only anger to well up inside of us as we pray against every veil tonight. As we pray against every hindrance tonight. See, if the devil knows that your prayer will shake heaven, if the devil knows that your prayer does not have barrier, that you don't, there's no barrier between you and God, he will fight your prayer life. If the devil knows that once you pray, heaven answer, God answer immediately, he will make prayer to be a thing of struggle. You will struggle to pray. He will fight your prayer life. But if the devil knows that there is a war, there is veil between you and God, he can make you to go to the mountain and pray 10 hours straight. You can go to the mountain and pray 7 days straight. You can stay there for 21 days straight and you are praying. But because he knows that there is veil, there is entrance between you and God, that your prayer goes nowhere, he will not trouble you. But once he's aware that your prayer touches heaven, once he's aware that there is no veil, no hindrance between me and you, he will make sure that you don't have power to communicate with God. I want us to pray tonight. And don't forget, little thing. The Bible says, take away the dross. Take away the hindrance. And there will be something for God to walk with. The Lord wants to walk with us. The Lord wants to use us. But there is veil. There is hindrance. And as much as you are God, I want you to use me. God is saying, this hindrance must be taken away. This anger must be taken away. This malice must be taken away. Fighting here and there must be taken away. Lying must be taken away. This and this in your life must be taken away. They have become barrier between you and God. That even when you are praying, you are even speaking in God. There is barrier. There is interest. The prayer goes nowhere. The prayers go nowhere because there is veil. Can we cry to the Lord tonight? Every veil in my life, every dross in my life, every barrier in my life,
away. It's a time.
pray all this trust. Father, tonight I pray this things all set away. I'm saying that 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 I'm saying
of God in that person's life that may constitute a barrier.
that may constitute drugs, that may constitute entrance in that person's life. We are going to be praying. Even the one you know, the one you don't even know. Every stronghold that devil has built in my heart, that is serving as entrance to the move of God, that is serving as entrance to the presence of God in my life, I come against you. I pull you down. I pull you down. Can you pull them down? Can you pull them down? By the power that is in the word of God that we have heard tonight, pull them down. Pull them down. Pull them down. Pull them down. I pull you down. I pull you down. I pull you down. Hear the Lord. I'm praying them up. Let's sort it out. I reckon them up. Let's set the Lord. I reckon them up. Let's pull them up. I rust them up. I pull you down. I pull you down. I pull you down. I destroy you. 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 In Jesus' name, we are praying. For Judas Iscariot, it was strong goal of covetousness. It was strong gold. He was with Jesus for the space of 3.5 years. Yet that strong gold still pulled him down. That strong gold in that God from using Judas. He said, our dear brethren Judas, he had a portion with us, but now he cannot continue. The another person will take his place because the strong gold of the devil in his life has removed him from the apostleship that God has given to him. Even if there's somebody that will betray Jesus, he shouldn't be one of his disciples. He shouldn't be Judas Iscariot. But because there is strong gold that is built in his heart that he could not overcome, that thing pulled him down. That thing removed him from the agenda and the will of God. For King Saul, it was strong goal of disobedience. God, the prophet Saul told him, wait till I come. He couldn't wait. He disobeyed. God told him, go, destroy everything. Destroy their king. He came back. He said, I saw fat animals, fat rams. I brought them back to make sacrifice. And God said, am I interested in your sacrifice? Like you obeying him? It was a struggle. And God told him, I have rejected you. I thought you were a big king. I thought your generation would rule after you. But I have rejected you. For Eli, if you know the causes that follow Eli, he said there will not be anybody that will grow old in your lineage, in your generation. Because God said, I thought your family, Eli family will be the one that will be prophet forever. But Jesus, God says, far from it. Far from it. Because the stronghold that devil has built inside him, don't say I'm going to church. There is no stronghold. There is. Until you cry to the Lord to remove it. Until you cry for God to pull down that stronghold, it will continue to affect you. It will continue to hinder the move and the presence of God from your life. Can you pull them down this evening? Can you pull them down this evening? There is power in the word of the Lord that we have heard tonight. There is power in the word of God that we have heard tonight to pull down every stronghold, to pull down every stronghold, to destroy every entrance. I'm at all my hand now. The word of God has power, has capacity, has the power, has the authority to pull down every stronghold of the devil. In the bush,
Father, we thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. We're about to leave here. As we take the communion tonight, I still want us to maintain a posture of cry in our heart. And every stronghold of hindrance to direct contact with the presence of God, be taken off, be taken away, be taken away. While I was praying there, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, there is a direct access to the presence of the Father made available by Jesus. He said, but there are direct access with checkpoints. A well-fortified city, you are to see checkpoints. If there are no physical checkpoints in developed nations, there are technology checkpoints. So if things are coming into the nation that are not supposed to have a direct contact, there will be a signal. The Holy Ghost said to me here while the prayer, while mommy was leading the prayer here, Jesus has paved the way for a direct access to the presence of the Lord with our lives. He said, but there are checkpoints. So what he's dealing with now, the hindrances that may make us to be denied at the checkpoint, make your prayer to be denied, make your fellowship to be denied. That every checkpoint, they say, no, this is how far you can go. This is how far you can go. Some are very close to the throne room. They are very, very close. You will say, no. Even though you have really survived, you have been helped to get through some checkpoint, but this one that you are carrying, no. Maybe there's one unforgiveness and you can't go. You just have to. And the presence of the Lord, there are checkpoints. Tonight, as we take the body of the Lord Jesus, this is the body that tore the veil. Yeah. It's the body of Jesus that removed the hindrance. And if you can cry tonight and say, Jesus, as I'm taking your body, every hindrance, every stronghold that has become a barrier between me and direct presence to you, take it away. The night he was to be betrayed, after he has given thanks, he took the bread and broke it and said, take it, this is my body broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. Please go ahead and eat that. The same man, after he took the call, the supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is good news covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. Tonight, as you take it, I want you to pray. Father, let the blood of Jesus destroy, demolish every stronghold. I told you, this is my own cry. None of us is excusable here. I have done my cry at home. If somebody, if I should stand and tell you that, oh, I have passed this, I become a Pharisee before you. Every one of us, we need this cry. There is something that must be taken away for complete direct access to the presence of God. And the blood of Jesus has made it possible. Let the blood, let the work the blood did on the cross of Calvary, let that work be done in our hearts tonight. And as you take it, please pray. Lord, let your blood demolish every stronghold in my heart that has barricaded a direct contact with your presence. Please go ahead. Please go ahead and pray. Oh, shalabarako sotopera gadabaya. Please go ahead, Makashele Barababa.
By the glory of cross, principalities,
Jesus. Jesus. By your name establish authority. Jesus. Jesus the righteous. By your blood you cross principalities. Oh Jesus. Authority. Ah, Jesus. Jesus the righteous. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. You have conquered all. By your blood, by your blood, every struggle, every principality in our lives, we bring them down in the name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, by your blood. By your blood, by your blood, by your blood. Keshege de na da 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 da. By your blood, you cross principalities. Principalities, oh Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, 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 by your name, you establish authority. Jesus! Jesus!
over me. You rule over me. Oh, sing Jesus. You have conquered me. You have conquered me, Jesus. 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 You reign over me. You reign over me.
Shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be removed. Then with unveiled face, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into the same image, even by the Spirit.
Changing me.